Niner.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive to HR. We know it's the week of Halloween, right? And by the end of this week, a lot of fun things are going to happen. I just finished carving my pumpkin, and this is the first time that I've ever tried carving a pumpkin, and I hope it turned out well. Anyway, that was a good experience. So without further ado, let's kick off our show with our wonderful, wonderful guest, Janine Truer. Janine, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
It's always a pleasure having you over at the Drive Through HR. So you know the drill, Janine. You have been on the show many, many times. So let us kick off the show by giving our audience a brief intro of who you are and what you do.
So I am Janine Truitt. I am newly the Chief Innovations Officer for Talent Think Innovations, LLC, my own consulting firm. I am the founder and chief blogger at the Aristocracy of HR blog. And other than that, I am mommy, contributor at Performance I Create, contributor at TLNT.com, and wife. And I think that's pretty much covering everything
right,
that I do.
Right. An example. You're an example that women can actually have it all. Women can have it all.
Oh, yeah.
All.
And
right.
A former model, too. And a former model,
whoa,
too.
Whoa, yeah. Oh, my. Yes. Now you're digging deep. Yes. Before the children, before my body expanded in ways that I never thought it could.
Oh.
Yes.
Let's get off this topic. There's nothing good about this topic. This topic wasn't good enough for us.
William's like, okay, enough. I retract.
Yeah. And I let us into that with the women could have. No, bad. Just kidding. So what's top of mind for you these days with all the things you got? A lot of irons, a lot of fires, a lot of all the other things. What's top of mind for you these days?
HR tech implementations. That's pretty much something that I'm dealing with on a daily basis now. We just got into implementing a new software as a service provider for the first time, and so this has been a very interesting experience.
You get to learn where new bodies are buried when you work with a new provider. I remember years ago, Knowledge Infusion, such a great company that was acquired by Appuro. I might get some of the details wrong here, but basically, they had an approach where they could work with anybody. They work with Workday, they could work with Saba, they could work with pick somebody, and they could help you because they had kind of a rigor around. Here's how we're going to make this work. Here's how we're going to help you get through this arduous process. And then I remember talking to Brian Abramovitz at one point. He said, you know what, that's good, but after a while you start to see that when you work with one provider over and over and over, you know exactly where the bodies are buried. You know where the technology is bendable, you know where it's not flexible, you know all the things. And so it kind of makes you look more one-dimensional because you're only working with one provider like that. But you also, there's a level of newness. So like when you're working with somebody new, you've got to learn all that stuff over again, right?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I've been involved in two of these in a previous life, and this is brand new, all over again. And it's a good thing for the organization for sure, because they've been on ERP before. But, you know, it's the system's one piece of it. The change management aspect of it is a whole nother, and how you socialize it is another. And so, you know, we're kind of navigating all of those pieces at once, because I don't think that they appreciated the magnitude of what this was going to be for the organization.
So first of all, I want to get some pitfalls from you in just a second. So have your mind thinking about, like, what do you think the common fails and are of all implementations. But I had a recent kind of an idea or epiphany or realization. I'll put it in front of you, and then I want you to stomp all over it. But so you take employee engagement on one side, and I know you know and you've written a lot about engagement, so you know what employee engagement looks like and should look like, et cetera. What's the relationship between software user experience and employee engagement? And so let me explain what I mean by that. So let's just take some real-world examples. ADP, prior to the last couple of weeks when they redesigned their UI, ADP was not the most beautiful and articulated technology in the world. It was kind of hard to deal with. It was kind of clunky. It wasn't, quote-unquote, user-friendly. And I'm not trying to disparage them. I could say that about anybody, actually. Mm-hmm. But it was just harder to work with. And so if you're an employee that you had to interact with that technology all the time, does that impact your engagement? Did that impact your happiness at work, quote unquote, in any way, shape, or form? So really, I don't know what the relationship. I'm going to research. I'm going to find out. But do you think that there's a relationship? So first of all, this is just an idea. It's rough. Mm-hmm. But do you think there's a relationship between employee engagement and that user experience of software that they use on a day-in and day-out basis?
So I think there's something to what you're saying. I don't know that we can extrapolate it across everybody in an organization, but I'll take myself for an example. So I've spent a lot of time in recruiting. So a system like that is a system I would work in quite frequently. It's probably the primary system that I'd be using in my work to get things done. So when it's clunky or when you have something that's not working well, like I've had something in my back pocket that I've been working with for years now that wasn't good before we got this software as a service product, it does affect how you approach your work. It does affect how engaged you are in your work because it's arduous to get to a point of getting something good out of it. So what do I mean by that? If you needed to run a report on this previous system that I used, you'd have to run the report. You'd have to be well-versed in queries, first of all. And then even when you get that report, you'd be going through lines and lines and lines of data and having to vet every line of data. That makes you angry. That's not an efficient way to work. You're just angry at the end of the day, pretty much. And you know, so, you know, that said, if you get something that's nice and works well and you can run a report and you can ship it off to your CHRO and know that everything is vetted and everything's clean and it looks great, it's a source of pride, one. And two, you know you can now move down your 1,000 task list and check that off as something that, you know, you didn't have to spend a lot of time on. So I think you're on to something where, you know, employee engagement is concerned because these are all resources that people right. use to get their jobs done. And if you don't have what's one of the first things that they ask you on an exit interview? Did you have all the resources that you needed to get your job done? And so, you know, if that was the one thing that impeded you from being efficient in your job, I would say quite possibly it's tied to employee engagement.
We're going to play with this for a couple of years. I'm curious. I'm on the beginnings of it. I need to do some research, but you and I are going to have a lot of fantastic conversations about that. And I wonder, because you do a lot of work on the recruitment side, I wonder that, you know, recruiters love working in ATSs that they've worked in before. It's like mm-hmm. one of the things I find kind of interesting about, you know, people that have worked in Taleo Enterprise, they get a new job and the first thing they want to do is like, hey, we need to bring in Taleo Enterprise. And it's like, well, you know, there's a lot of other technologies that are out there. It's like, but it's familiar. They've mm-hmm. done the bit. They know how to run reports. They know how to configure it. They know how to do the deal. And so it's comfortable. And mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that kind of plays into how people pick technologies.
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, in the beginning of this process, of course, Taleo was, you know, the one that it had to be until I said,
right.
oh, wait a minute, hold up. I've worked in Taleo, and here's
yeah.
what I think about Taleo.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
pros and
you know,
cons.
And then the whole bit was, well, Mercer said, you know, that yeah. Taleo, well, you know, you might want to take those things with a grain of salt before you go spend, you know, several hundreds of thousands on this system. Now, you know, Taleo works well for certain companies, worked well in my last company. They loved it, and so they kept it. But I believe in companies really being intentional when they're looking at these products and thinking about what they need. Don't think about the bells and whistles. Think about what is really going to serve your organization and where you want to be 5-10 years down the line. Does it serve that purpose as well? And if you can answer that question, and if it still is Taleo, well, then, you know, Godspeed. But if not, and all you're looking at is who's the major player in the industry, you're probably going to end up losing, because you're going to get things that you don't really need, or you're going to get things that don't play nice with what you already have. And, you know, those are the kind of headaches we try to avoid in implementations.
Well, while you guys, you know, you started talking about technology versus engagement and how HR can, you know, get the help of technology when it comes to making reports and finding insights out of it. But my next question is, you know, does technology help HR to make the HR processes more transparent so that employees will be able to know the process and, you know, that would help HR very specifically?
I think that it can facilitate that, but I think ultimately if you're going to be transparent, if the HR discipline is going to be transparent, you're going to be transparent through your policies, you're going to be transparent in the way that you communicate those kinds of things, and then the technology is kind of a secondary or tertiary thing that, you know, aids that process. But I wouldn't say that the technology in and of itself, you know, would make your processes, your policies transparent. I mean, there's a lot on the market. It's probably oversaturated at this point, but I think people have a bit of a false sense of what technology actually does for you. Does it streamline? Yes, it does what you want it to do, but it doesn't fix all your issues. So that said, if you want to be transparent, then, you know, you go and you be transparent and you use the system to kind of facilitate some of those pieces, but it's not like, you know, some magical time machine that you wave on and off to create situations that humans need to create.
Yeah, I think the technology community would like to think that would like for everyone to think that there's magic bullets, but truth is there are no magic bullets. And you and I have had this particular conversation mm-hmm. before around process and products. And I think most people that have been in the game and that have implemented these things know that really it's a game of process. And mm-hmm. you can lay down, none of the technology vendors want to hear this, but you can lay down different technologies on a great process. And you're still going to have good stuff come through the system, but you got to get the process right.
Yep. Absolutely.
There's no shortcuts there.
I wish to God that more people get this whole, you know, thing. It's just like, well, we heard this is the best on the market. Well, let's get it. And somehow the recruitment process that we have that's broken is going to become the best recruitment process, mm-hmm. going to be the best in practice. It doesn't mm-hmm. work like that. It's garbage in, garbage out. You have to work on those things and triage them before you go implementing systems.
Yep. Yeah. So current pitfalls. I mean, you know, because I know that you interact with this stuff a lot. What do you think that when you look at implementations, do you see some common mistakes or common pitfalls either in dealing with the implementation of the technology or even the change that's around the technology?
So I think not having a solid change management and communication plan, which, you know, most times I've been the one raising my hand like, okay, how are we going to socialize this? How are we going to socialize this? And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get to that, Janine. Okay, well, when are we going to get to that? And then, you know, 3 months down the line, how are we going to socialize this? And, oh, yeah, we'll get to that. And then the system gets implemented, and nobody wants to use it. Everybody wants to work outside of the system. Well, what's going on? Why aren't people adopting it? Oh, remember when I raised my hand and said, you need to have a change management plan, and you need to communicate this, and you need to be pinging them along the way. And, I mean, that's comprehensive. I mean, through demos, through showing them what this is going to look like, through, you know, whatever internal communication routes you have to be constantly pinging people and putting this on their radar. And it also has to come from the top, I believe, in the organization a lot of times. I mean, I've worked in organizations that were very hierarchy-driven companies, you know, maybe even a little archaic in their way. And, you know, when you have that situation, you can't come from HR and say, hey, new system, you have to use it. They're not trying to hear you. They want to hear it come from on high. And so I feel like, you know, a lot of opportunities were missed in that regard. I think, again, a lot of people don't want to deal with process because, you know, it's painful. It just is. Like, nobody, they just want to implement a system. They want to spend the money, and they want everything to just be okay. But you really have to deal with process, and you have to take a really close look at what you're doing and think of not, you know, outlandish things, but how can you be better? How can you be better, and what ways do you want this system to kind of facilitate your processes? I find people don't, they can't really drill down to exactly what they wanted to do. They just wanted to do everything, and it can't do everything, you know, especially ATS. It's like, well, I wanted to link into my guest system that gets people in, and I wanted to do this, and I wanted to be a repository for that. And it's like, that's not what it's built to do. So let's try to drill down on exactly what it is that you want this thing to do.
Well, and some of it is change management is nebulous. I mean, even though we've been studying it, and there's all the consulting firms have practices around it. And so the larger the firm, the more that we've probably talked about this. But the problem is at the end of the day, the technology vendor knows their technology. And and HR generally knows the employees. But it's like doubles tennis. Who in the middle really takes care of the change? Because and it's been my experience, at least, that the HR practitioners generally think that technology solves change.
Mm-hmm.
That if you bring in the technology and if you pick the right technology and the technology is as wonderful as the person made it out to be, that change just happens. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to relate this back to people. It's like it's a philosophy of retirement. At the end of your work career, what does retirement look like? Did you plan for it? Did you fund it? Did you do things for it? Or did you just kind of hope that things would kind of mystically happen? I mean, just and again, no judgment. Everyone kind of goes about this in different ways, and so I'm really not trying to be sarcastic and judgy. But at the end of the day, it is a philosophy, and I think that's one of the problems with change is that HR at their core believes that if they pick the right technology, that change will happen. What's been your experience?
You're absolutely right. I think that analogy with retirement makes sense. I mean, the teams, even just the teams that you put together to kind of work on this kind of project, you better think long and hard who those pieces are and pick the right pieces because, you know, I've seen where the worst teams have been pulled together and it wasn't successful. And the teams were pulled together based on, you know, either who's the higher up on this, but they weren't, you know, there weren't either enough functional pieces or there weren't enough full-time dedicated people to make it a success. So, you know, here you are in the middle of trying to get work done and trying to implement a new system. It's just not a good mix at all. I do think that HR doesn't have a good enough pulse on the technology and the technical aspects of what it means to actually implement a system. So a lot of times from a purchasing standpoint, they don't know what they don't know, and they get sold on a lot of things that either, one, they don't need or they don't know to question. And I think we've had this discussion many times too. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that vendors will tell you in demo and even the salespeople will tell you thereafter, after demos, that a system can do. And until you really put it to work is when you find out whether or not that works or not. And I think now we're finding that certain things we were told aren't as they were in demo, aren't as they were even when they came on site and showed us. And although, you know, I made mention of sandboxes and really testing this thing to the nth degree, like almost to the extent of breaking it, you know, we're just still finding those things. I mean, you're going to always have to tweak, but you want to know as much as you can know up front. And we don't tend to, you know, want to ask those questions to your point, which is just, it's going to work. It's going to do magic. Let's just pay for it. We've got the budget. Let's go for it. You know, and I mean, for, in this case, to live, have to live with something for 5 years and X amount of hundreds of thousands spent on it just to get to this point, that's quite silly.
So I tell people in one of my speeches about user adoption that they should meet their implementation team before they sign the contract, which is painful for a lot of technology vendors, for a lot of the reasons that are kind of basic, that they don't know who the implementation team is until the contract, and then they get sourced, and the people could be on the bench and could be, you know. So it's hard, and I get that it's hard, but I have a belief, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe most implementations fail because of chemistry. That at the end of the day, as an HR practitioner, you need somebody on the other side of the table that's got your back, because you're going to have some shit wrong. You're going to have said that the data was perfect. You're going to come to find out that the data is not perfect, and you're going to look like a fool, and that's okay. That's just life. But you need somebody on the other side of the table that says, hey, you know what? We got this. We'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. And vice versa. You're going to have a technology vendor that's going to make some mistakes. It's going to overpromise. It's going to miss some deadlines. It's going to, you know, have some vaporware issues. You know, things are going to happen there. And you need to have that person on the other end of the table that says, "Hey, you know what? These things happen. Don't worry about it. We'll work through it. We'll get through it together. We've got each other's back," which is all chemistry. It's guys
Absolutely.
And gals just looking at each other going, you know what, we're going to get through this, we're going to take care of each other, because this isn't going to be the only time that we do this. We're going to take care of each other. And those that don't do that end up in implementation hell, and those that do, celebrate. And wouldn't it be great if we just got to a place where we knew those things in advance before you signed the contract? I want to meet Sally and Jim and Ted and Alice and all those people. I want to meet them. We talk to them. We're going to go party with them. Going to go have a good time. And then I want to sign the contract after. So first of all, how dumb is that of me to even think that thought or say that to people?
So tried that, and I'm finding that the vendor community isn't open to this concept. At all.
And the main reason, why do they fight it? Well, what lies have been told to you?
Well, my sentiment was that they don't have adequate resources to be able to project that kind of thing and say, okay, this is going to be your team from the beginning. I think in one particular case, that might have been the case, that they just didn't have enough people and it's a last minute kind of thing where they just, you know, pull things together. But I was shocked to find that they, you know, really would not be willing to honor this sort of thing. Oh, well, we don't do that. But
we don't sign your contract.
Right, but we can guarantee you that you'll get the best of the best. All of our people are trained well. They've done this hundreds and hundreds of times. You'll be in good hands.
Well, you know, I'm so jaded that this is probably a me thing. This is probably a William being, you know, I'm the problem in this thing. But I'm old enough to remember that cartoon where the guy said, if you pay me today, I'll be happy to give you a hamburger on Tuesday. Do you remember that whole bit?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I don't believe any of that shit. I want to be able to see it, touch it, feel it, have it in my hands, and then I'll believe it. Because
consequently, your thinking is aligned with the way government companies think, and those are the companies that I've worked with. And, you know, their thing is, we want what we want in our scope of work, and you must deliver what we want.
What I've found
is that a lot of these HR tech vendors are going to end up not being able to infiltrate that market segment because they don't get that. There's maybe one player out there that gets it, and even then we had to negotiate back and forth before this thing was done for quite some time. But if you want to infiltrate the government sector of things, you better understand that they want to touch, feel, they're not giving, you're not going to, you know, they're not going to pay you before they receive what they're supposed to, you know, it's all government regulated. So I don't, you know, I don't know that it's the people behind it more so than it's government regulations, but there's definitely going to, I want to like put out that APB to all HR tech vendors. Like if government is where you're going, you better tighten up your bootstraps in order to even be able to infiltrate them, because they just won't even do business with you.
All right, so we had some amazing, amazing discussions on HR technology and how to buy in HR technology and how to not get into a trap of HR tech vendors into buying a technology that is not suitable for you. So, Jenny, let's move to the other side of the coin. You know, there is some part of it we say that this increased use of HR technology may lead to some, you know, uncertainty about human element of HR job, right? So how do we find a balance between, yeah, we do have HR technology, but we cannot miss that human element of our job?
So I think, you know, it should be common sense, but it's good to speak about, you know, what exactly people should be doing in person and what they should be doing through a system. I know with the ATS, this is something that gets spoken about all the time in terms of how recruiters engage candidates, you know, how much should be on the phone or in person versus some kind of internal bot that's sending out memorandum and letters and things of that nature. So, you know, I think there still needs to be a human feel with regard to that, in the sense that, you know, if I interview you as a candidate and let's just say you don't get the position or we're not going to consider you further, I feel like I'm old school in a sense. I feel like I have a duty to pick up the phone and have a conversation with you about what the sentiments were around your candidacy and also wish you well and or wish you to, you know, continue looking at opportunities within the company. I don't think, although every system has it, that there's a repository of letters that it's prudent to just send that person a letter saying, hey, thanks for coming in for the interview, but we're going to move on. There's just something so impersonal about that. And certainly it's a turnoff to candidates, because I hear them squawk about it all the time, or I hear them say they don't hear from recruiters at all. And we can get into that whole bit. But I think, you know, there's certain instances in the HR process or in a hiring process, at least, where it requires you to have some sort of human interaction. And, yes, the system, we know the system has many things that it can do, but maybe that's something that you just decide as a company, because of the experience that you want candidates to have with you, that you turn off or you just don't utilize. It's not the worst thing in the world. But, you know, I think it's important to kind of balance what you're going to – the system really for me is more of just streamlining processes. I think that's where it really wins out. But as far as communicating, I think a lot of that still needs to be done face-to-face just to kind of keep the human touch.
All right. We have about 2 minutes left, and I'm going to ask a debatable question to you. Does technology need – HR or HR needs technology?
HR needs technology.
Why?
I wonder why. You know, I think that there's still a lot of HR departments out here that are happy to shuffle paper from one desk to the next. And they've built their legacy on doing that kind of thing and have kept their jobs based on doing those kinds of things. It's not really efficient. It's not necessarily where the discipline needs to be at this point. So I think things that you can outsource or things that you can streamline by using technology are smart, because then you can be involved in other things, other strategic kinds of activities or other value-added activities within the organization, rather than worrying about paper or, you know, just administrative tasks. So I think for that purpose, HR needs technology more than technology needs HR. you know, on the flip side of that, technology is doing quite well on HR because, you know, there's a whole industry based on the needs of HR professionals. So, you know, obviously it's a money-making thing, and so there's something to that. But if I had to pick one, drop dead, I would say HR needs technology more.
Well, Janine, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing your valuable insights. And I know, William, thank you so much for adding your thoughts, too, and making this conversation an insightful one. So, Janine, where can our audience connect with you and come and find you?
You can connect with me on Twitter. I am the Tsarina of HR. You can obviously also connect with me on LinkedIn, at my blog, The Aristocracy of HR, my website, talentthinkinnovations.com.
All right. So, Janine, thank you so much for joining with us and have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too. Take care.
Thanks for that.
Bye.
Take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. By the way.